the book of Esther. I want to finish a thought here. We're going to probably be here next Sunday as well. I'll bring out a different perspective of the chapter. But I want you to turn there with me. Esther chapter 4. And I want to give you, I think you'll be pleased to hear this, one point this evening. To continue on with the points that we see and recovering perhaps from former decisions that were perhaps in some way bad decisions from yourself or others, but also just understanding that God is all about using the crises in our life to bring us to decision points. He wants us in many ways to be awakened to life, life in Him. And that is complete dependence upon Him, which we understand that begins with a heart of humility. And we see that in Mordecai's life there in chapter 4, verse 1, when the Bible says, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Father, I pray that you would take the word tonight and Lord, help us to truly be changed by your word. And I pray the power of the word along with the power of the Holy Spirit would do a deep work in our midst, O God. I confess I can't do anything to help these precious people tonight. I have no power of my own. Lord, I depend completely upon your Spirit to speak to your children and anyone that might be lost to convince them that they need to be saved. I will leave that to you, Lord. I just pray that I could be a vessel, just a messenger boy this evening. Oh God, please help me. I need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we see here Mordecai, all, as we mentioned this morning, was obviously broken over the situation. He was moved with humility and came before the city. It was public. There was nothing to hide. And we looked at how humbling ourselves before the Lord will lead to grace. And we see grace beginning to work even in this situation. Chapter 4 is what we call a pivotal point. Now, there are so many pivotal points in the book of Esther. I mean, there's, as I mentioned before, there are so many reversals and unexpected things that take place and change the direction. And we see that often, don't we, in this book? Well, literally, this is a pivotal point because it's going to point us to what happens when God's people humble themselves before the Lord. Wonderful things happen. Lives are changed. People are delivered. Strongholds are broken. And literally, even in some situations, multitudes are rescued, as was the case here. Well, one of the things we saw here is that humility always leads to grace. And then we notice that humility has nothing to hide. There's no... When you're in a state of humility, of true biblical humility, we're going to talk about something that also brings tonight. But look, there's nothing to hide. There's a sweet transparency with biblical humility. There's a genuineness about a person and about a life that's experiencing this type of humility. And that is what we see here. Nothing to hide. It's all out. And now he's seeking to encourage his cousin Esther to be the same. But then, thirdly, we noticed about this humility brings the wisdom on making the next step. No longer a path of least resistance. But if you think about this, that's what was taking place up until this point. It was the path of least resistance. Can you think about that with me just for a moment? Mordecai really had it made in many ways. Esther certainly had it made. I mean, I don't think she could have lived a more luxurious life than what she was living, all the comforts in the world. And it was a path that seemed to be fine. But what we see happen is this next step was going to take them on a path where there was going to be resistance. And I believe that what God does many times on the situations in our life, that He brings us to a jolting experience of just a spiritual awakening, many times is to get us out of the monotony of just coasting. The monotony of just floating down the river. You've heard that account where I took a buddy of mine and we thought was a tidal river. Okay, down near Charleston, it was up above the Cooper River. It was further north, going toward Myrtle Beach from Charleston. But it was national forest, and what I thought, I told my friend, this is a tidal river. In other words, where we can catch the tide and get in our canoe, get on the river, go down to our on the ebb tide, go down to our campsite, and then the high tide coming in, we would go back to our vehicle. We had it all planned out. Well, I want to tell you, it was a situation, man, it got scary quick. Now, this is back when I was about 20 years old. I was actually about 21, and I was not thinking very clearly. I was adventurous, but we were not very wise, okay? But what happened is, because of, I think, some rains that they had, and the particular section that we were at, that tide was not changing on that river. And when we floated down the river, from our, where we parked, the parking lot, we got down and we got out, we set up the camp, and we were just ready to have a great night of camping. My buddy Brian Spivey and I'm sure he remembers it, because I believe he still is tempted to kill me for that time. But this is what happened. And not only that, folks, I was in the Coast Guard at the time and I was on call. See, I just not was thinking this through very well. I had a pager. We had pagers back then, you know, that if we had an emergency. So I was not on duty that day, but I was on call. But I think, hey, you know, if something happens, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. We'll be able to get back there, no problem, next morning, whatever. And lesson learned. But anyway, we had no longer gotten set up the tent. We got the fire pretty much going, and we were there ready to have a good night camping. And wouldn't you know it, the pager went off. Well, we got to go. What? Yeah, I'm serious. We got to go. And when we got in that canoe, I'm here to tell you, folks, I am not exaggerating, all right? I'm not just preaching. I'm telling the truth. Now, listen. We got in that canoe and we had to row and paddle against the stream for about 5 hours. He was not my friend. He was not my friend when we got to the end of that trip. I don't even think he talked to me all the way home. And he may have said something like, "You idiot." But other than that, it wasn't anything else. He gave me the hard time. We had to paddle against that current. And man, it was tough. I never will forget that. And so I always remembered, man, when it comes to tidal rivers, you better know exactly what parts are going to be tidal exactly, even with rains and considering everything. It was a crazy experience. And we did make it back finally. It was a long, we were tired, exhausted. And I did get back to the station, and I can't even remember what they had to say. But anyway, I made it back to the station. And I say this sometimes, you know, in life, what we want to do is just coast. We don't want to, even in the time of need, we don't want to put forth any spiritual stamina. We don't want to have any spiritual sweat when it comes to paddling against the current of this world. But that's exactly what God calls us to do many times. And thank God, by His grace and strength, we are able to go against the current. But the world is going against us. And what we see here is that they decided to make this next step, which is going to be a lot of resistance. But they took it, and God is going to bless them for that. And not only is He going to take it, but of course we saw that Esther took it. But the point I want you to look at tonight is this. Humility produces boldness. Can you say that with me? Humility produces boldness. You could also say it like this. Humility removes fear. Christian taught on it in the men's Sunday school class this morning, and just, it was wonderful. It's very encouraging, very convicting. But I believe we would all agree here tonight that the wrong kind of fear, not fearing the Lord, we know how wonderful that is, but the wrong kind of fear is crippling, debilitating. It handicaps us spiritually immensely when we're wanting to do what God has called us to do. And all through Scripture, we see that the fear of circumstances, the fear of men, the fear of the future, those types of fear hinder God's people. And I'm thankful that because of this humility that came about in Mordecai's life due to Haman's edict to annihilate, we're talking about basically genocide here, annihilate the Jewish people from existence, we understand that, boy, that humility brought up and produced a boldness that says, who cares what the king thinks? Who cares what the people at the gate think? I got to do something. And that is what God wants you to have and me to have. A boldness that comes from a spirit of humility. Notice I didn't say an arrogancy. It's wrong to be arrogant. That's pride. That's the same thing. That comes from just as fear does. Arrogance comes from pride. But this humility is going to do something special because it's going to have Mordecai step up. He's going to encourage his cousin. And Esther, because of her humility, she's going to have a boldness. And there's going to be a fear that, yes, that is there, but something greater than that fear, and that's going to be the fear of the Lord, is going to give her a great boldness. Can I submit to you tonight that I believe fear is another form of pride? I believe that fear is another form of pride. Why would I say that? Because pride is being concerned with self. And when I am afraid of stepping out in faith, when I have the fear of man or the fear of doing what is right because I'm afraid of what people will think about me, I'm afraid of what someone might do to me, it's a self focus, even fear. I want to save face. For the example of why wouldn't we share the gospel? Well, there's a fear there. There's a fear that they might reject or they might say no or whatever the case may be. And I believe that stems from the foundation. I believe it's pride. Because when we're humble, have anything to lose to share with someone because it's not about me. It's about the glory of God. So when I believe Mordecai and Esther, when we catch their spirit from a point of brokenness and humility, we are going to see that, wow, when we keep the focus off of ourselves and the focus on the glory of God and honoring Him, boy, I believe it brings us sweet, sweet boldness. That's what it'll produce. I think of even in Joshua, a few verses that come to mind. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. He was talking about there, the Amorites. He said, there shall not a man of them stand before thee. He gave him deliverance. Of course, that verse, you should mark this down. We should all memorize it. But Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a what? A trap. It's a trap. And it is something that puts people in bondage. It's that fear, that spirit of fear that just truly hinders us from doing what God's called us to do. And then the second part of the verse is just as important. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord, get this, shall be safe. That's the opposite. That's the other side of it. The snare that comes from fear as opposed to the place of safety because I'm trusting in the Lord. Though someone may harm me, I am safe in the center of God's will. We know 2 Timothy 1:7, don't we? For God hath not given us what? The spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, tonight as I think upon what all was going on in Mordecai's, I don't know all his motivations. The scriptures are not clear. I don't even know all of Esther's motivations. But I can see one thing in both of their lives that was produced. God brought them out of their comfort zone. They were not taking the path of just least resistance. They were saying there was a boldness in their life. And I believe it came from a spirit of humility. It's interesting that in Christian Sunday school class this morning, he was talking about when David basically deceived Abimelech. And with that weird behavior, acting like a madman, a crazy man, that's in 1 Samuel 21. And it kind of led from him being scared in the beginning, and he told a lie because he was scared. He had fear of man. But he wrote a psalm, and I don't know if you knew this, but he wrote a psalm after he acted like a crazy man. And if you are interesting to know, you don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to tell you, I want you to read that psalm when you get an opportunity. It's Psalm 34. And this is what he said. This is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Listen to what he says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. This is after the Lord humbled him. He realized he got to that breaking point. He was so humble that he acted like a crazy man and God just broke him. And listen to what came out of that humiliation and brokenness at that very point. Don't miss it, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The fear of God was greater than the fear of man, and He delivered him from that. May God help us to understand that humility removes fear and it produces boldness. Let's pray.